Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
What's up? It's your boy, The Fed Smith. Thanks for listening to the Men's Room Daily Podcast. Want more? Check out the greatest podcast in all the land, The Podcast. Be sure to subscribe and listen to a brand new episode every Tuesday night.
The debauchery rolls on. You're listening to The Men's Room with Miles and Thrill. 99.9 KISW.
My question, when did you not tell the whole story? 206-421-ROCK.
By the way, Ted, just so you know, we got an answer to our question of, you're going to rob the bank, I'm simply driving the car.
You're the wheel man.
I'm the wheel man. Yeah, we get the same charge.
That's what I thought, yeah.
Yeah, at least in the state of Washington. So we have to look at the other 49 states before we pull off this big cape.
Well, if not, it wouldn't be hard to find a wheelman.
If we were dating and you said, hey, I got to stop off at the bank real quick, make a deposit. Just wait out here.
Okay.
And you go in and you rob the place.
But you're unaware.
And I'm unaware.
All right.
Okay, but you come back out in a hurry. I should have some type of suspicion.
You can be suspicious of anything, but if you don't know, you don't know. So
I didn't take you to the bank. Knowing that you were going to rob the place.
Right, that's the difference.
But when you came out and were, you know, kind of...
Frantic?
Frantic, so to speak. I just figured that I don't know what happened, but I'll keep driving, and then... Lights come on behind me.
Yeah, don't ask the question.
But again, that's different, because you didn't know. In this situation, all three of us know.
Well, I know
Thrill knows. He just knows he's the driver.
No, I don't.
It was your idea.
I know it's my idea, but when they ask, well, I don't know what he's doing.
Yeah.
I was doing a favor for a friend.
I don't even bank there.
Yeah. I don't know why he wanted to go to that bank.
I mean, check the gun. It's Miles's.
Jesus.
You can't trace it because you filed off the serial number. Yeah.
Right. I don't know. Thrill and I are wearing gloves.
I'm just an Uber driver, man. That'd be nice. Hello, Dave. Welcome to the men's room.
Hey, hi.
Hola.
Hola. Let's see. My parents invested a little bit of money in this business I started. And so, you know, they're on the board of directors. And after about 5 or 6 years, I was driving an old crappy Oldsmobile Cutlass that kept dying on me. And so I told them, hey, I need a new car. You know, the company needs to buy me a new car. And they said, well, what kind of car are you looking at? You know, we're not buying you a Maserati or anything. I said, no, just a little, Ford Coupe, 6-cylinder automatic. And they said, oh, okay, that's reasonable. And then the next time they saw me, I was in a Ford Mustang convertible.
Was that your work car, so to speak?
That was my work car, yeah.
And did you use it for work?
Yeah, oh, yeah. I went to go, you know, call on customers and that and everything.
Okay. And I guess, so as long as you were, I mean, technically based on taxes, the business and everything else, it's cheaper than a work truck.
Yeah.
Depending on what
you... the company paid for everything. It was right. A company car.
That's what I'm saying.
That's why I get a Mustang, too.
It's cheaper than a work truck.
Right, but the company was just him and his parents. So basically, your parents bought you a car.
No, I bought it. I mean, it was... they were just investors in the company, and the company was making money.
Okay, all right. Well, it's your
company.
But I thought I should clear it with them because I didn't want to show up at their house in a brand new Mustang convertible without, and they're going, oh, and this is where your money's going to instead of, investing in new equipment and stuff?
Yeah, trust me, man. I mean, as far as business goes, that is some of the easiest way for people to cover up their expenses.
Sure.
I mean, think of all the people that got COVID relief money, right?
Oh, yeah, the dude
and the things
hookers and all the rest of that.
Lamborghini,
it's crazy.
Yachts. I mean, people bought brand new cars. They bought new homes. And it'll slowly get back to everybody. for the most part. I mean, not everybody, but, you know, I mean, there's a ton of people out there who just got a check for $800,000.
Right, and you disguise it.
Said you had 30 employees, but really, you know, you don't have 30 employees.
I think the craziest thing was still all the money that went to corporations and, like, local restaurants and bars couldn't get in.
That's the thing. Like, was it like Deutsche Bank or whoever? It was some bank where it's like, wait, how much money did you get? Like,
Joel Osteen.
Right.
I mean, come on. Like, he didn't need it.
The guy with the private jet, yeah.
He gave it back, though. When did you not tell the whole story? 206-421-ROCK, but he never should have taken it in the first place.
Right, he gave it back. There was local steakhouses that couldn't stay open, but like Ruth Chris, like they got one, and then they gave it back, right? Because people found out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's the way to do it. By the way, just an update on our, as we're trying to figure out how to rob a bank and who's going to serve the most time for this.
All right.
In the state of Washington, there is a law called Unwitting Spouse. It exempts you from certain criminal charges if you can prove that you truly didn't know. If you can prove.
All right.
So far, before we rob this bank, we're getting married.
Oh,
I'm so not out there. No,
but you got to prove you didn't know. In Miles' scenario,
baby like, stepping.
That she knew. Yeah. She knew.
We're baby stepping it, man. You start with the marriage, and we're going to rob the bank. We're like, did you guys get married just to rob the bank? Yes, we did. Yes, we did.
Mm-hmm. But wait a minute. Only one of us to get off.
Well, one of us has to prove that we didn't know. That's why I want to be the wheel man. The wheel man, you have plausible deniability. I really didn't know. If you walk into a bank with a gun and hold it up, like, you knew what you were doing.
Only because you made me.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I see how you're going to do this. All right, it's going to be like that. This will be a messy divorce, bro.
Well, either we all go down equal, or somebody's going down.
Okay. Hello, Steven. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
Okay, so I was 16, and I had to take the SATs on Saturday. So Friday night, I decided to go out to this kegger and drive in my parents' car. And, you know, it gets to be kind of late. I'm out way too late. It's like 1 or 2. And I'm like, okay, I got to go home. My friends try to stop me from driving home. But I'm like, screw this. I'm out of here. So last thing I remember is getting in my car and taking a right-hand turn. The next thing I know, my front hood is basically under the back of a Dodge Stratus. I'm knocked out, sitting in the driver's seat, and two people on the sidewalk are making sure I'm okay. So my airbag didn't deploy, so what had happened was a headrest, and then cops show up, and they asked me what I was doing, and I said, I don't know, I was checking the radio, and just thought his taillights were stoplight, I didn't really know. They said, how fast you were going? I was like, 20, 25? I had no idea, man, I probably floored it, I was probably doing 40, and rear-ended this guy, and then they gave me a $120 ticket for inattention to driving, and let me drive my beat-up car home. The light caps were flying off. Felt like I was driving a NASCAR after I went to the wall.
Wow. Damn.
I can't believe they let you go.
I can't either, dude. There were 2 18-packs of whatever, some type of cheap beer in my trunk. They wrote the ticket on top of that, and I'm sitting there sweating bullets. Like, it was crazy. And then I was up all night because I had to tell my mom I wrecked their car.
How'd you do on the test?
1600.
All right. Okay.
Damn. That's all right, man.
Nice work.
I never took my SATs.
I didn't take that one either. I took the ACTs at the time.
I did. I always thought it was mandatory that you had, if you wanted to move on, right, from high school, if you wanted to do any other education. And then it was my mother that spilled beans, man. It was like my junior year. And she's like, oh, well, they're recommended, but you don't have to. I'm like, done. She's like, no, I'm not saying don't. I'm like, no. If I'm not obligated to sit down for hours to do more academia, I'm not going to. I'm like, sorry, man, you should have never told me that.
If I can just get in.
But I know there was a big racket going on as far as not telling the whole truth. You know, a lot of very dumb kids did very well to SATs, and you found out later because the 8 smart kids got paid to do them for them.
Yeah.
Right? Because you didn't need ID or anything like that. Just if they said, Ted Smith, it could be me. And I go, yeah, I'm right.
Mm. So I passed a math class.
Really?
Yeah. I had my buddy take it. I paid him in cash, and he took my math class.
Actually, that's how I got my.
I'm not kidding. It was.
I think SATs they check.
They might now because it became a really big racket, man.
I feel like even when I had to take them, it was like very specific.
It got a lot different
school
because the racket was going on, and a lot of these kids were using it to go to college. And I don't know why college cared. You just want the money anyway, right? But the colleges pretended they cared, so they really started cracking down. And Miles, I did what you did, right? My mother got a phone call from my high school. She assumed it was bad because that's the only phone call they'd given. And I can hear her on the other line. What did he do? We're calling to let you know that he finished second in a citywide history paper thing that we had to do for school. And then I remember my teacher pulling me aside and going, you did such a good job on this, I'm going to submit it to the citywide competition that I did not know existed. Anyway, I forget about it. I find out that citywide, I've gotten second place. Well, I never really wrote the paper. I mean, I rewrote it, but my buddy, who was a year older, he had done his report, because it was an obligatory thing in Baltimore City. He had done it on Greek mythology. So I said, dude, do you still have the paper? He goes, yeah. I gave him $10. I grabbed his paper. I rewrote it down. Just, you know, because his wording was kind of bad, but I did zero research. I literally just rewrote.
Well, he did all the research.
What he had. I turned this thing in and got second place. I never had the heart to tell my parents, like, dude, it's plagiarism.
I'm pretty sure they knew.
No, they really did. My mom was so proud. I'm like, I think my dad probably knew, like, you're dumb ass. Mm-hmm. But the other thing, I did 1 year of college, and we had a class called Arts and Humanities. And the final thing we had to do was this big, long, well-researched oral report, right? So I there's no chance I was going to read all these different goddamn books. You could pick, like, three different books that you wanted to read, but they all had to be specific to this topic, blah, 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 blah. So I hedge my bets that I'm just not going to go first. As it turns out, I went seventh. So I used to sit at this table with these two other chicks, and they were so annoyed with me. Molly, who always did her work, and she was very smart, very good, and this chick, Noelle, who was always kind of like C student. You know, she did her best, but that's about where she was at. And they were like, you didn't do anything, did you? I said, no, because once she said it's an oral report, man, you just play the odds. I don't think I'll go first. If I do, I'm screwed, right? So I go seventh, and all I did, I made up some authors that I put on index cards and literally just ripped out these names and kind of repeated the same information that other students had given.
Okay.
Right? Because I got a real good sense of the only things people are looking for as far as explaining, right, you know, what the situation was. So I just quoted these authors that did not exist, made up some book titles that didn't exist, and gave a glorious presentation on how they broke down the philosophy of this, that, and the other. Got an A. And this chick, Molly, got a B. And she was pissed. And I said, man, it's called playing the system. And I believe that that's going to suit me better in life than yours is. Like, sorry, man.
When did you not tell the whole story? 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, Dean. Welcome to the men's room.
Guten Tag.
Hola.
Well, my story is a kind of a reverse thing. I was growing up and early on, and my dad said he'd pay my insurance. Don't ever let anybody drive your car. That was weird. And probably 10, 15 years later, he finally told me what happened. He was about 20 years old. It was 1931. And he was working for a farmer, and the farmer had a son. One day, this farmer's son asked to borrow the car. About an hour later, he came back. About an hour later after that, the police show up. They ask, who's that car? Well, it's mine, my dad says, and he gets thrown in the back of the car. Come to find out, the kid had robbed a bank in town.
Damn.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, and what's funny is the farmer testified for my dad, or he would have had jail time for an accessory to the bank
robbery. So he had to testify against his son.
Yeah, he testified against his son. Yeah. His son was a bad egg, and that's why he had hired my dad, because it was the depths of the Depression.
Okay.
But, that was weird to find that out later on. But, yeah, he only had a year's probation, but he...
Happened to somebody I know who's related to me who's younger.
What exactly happened?
Well, they lied to the cops about what exactly had happened.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And the cops believed him.
And this person's related to you?
Yes. Yes, they were.
Is it part of that family?
No. Right out the thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mine.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh!
Yeah, I was saying, you know,
yes.
That.
Yeah. Sorry, man. Like, I didn't realize how close the relationship.
Same thing. I mean, basically, she let someone else drive the car.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing was they were practicing parallel parking. Now, in the area that they lived, or where they were practicing this, or where the other girl lived, it was one of those areas, kind of like north of Greenwood, that don't have sidewalks. But you do have, you know, gravel on the side, and there was a couple of trees. So this girl was practicing her parallel parking between two trees.
Well, spoiler, she's not good at it.
No. Pulls back into the spot and then hits the gas. The car ends up nose up, totaled, with a whole front end smashed in up against the tree. They literally open the doors and have to climb out. because the car is still upright. They tried to get the car down, but it was so jacked up and wrapped around the front of the tree, it wouldn't slide down the tree. She tried to put it in reverse.
Right.
Front-wheel drive car.
Oh, yeah, nothing.
Wheels are up in the air. It's bzzz. Cops come. This girl takes off through the woods, runs home, because that was the play they made based on the fact.
Do you want to go down that road, or?
Yeah, no,
it would be better if they didn't know.
No, yeah, right. No, it's just one of those things. Like, I was like, dude, you're killing me, man. You know what I mean?
But she told you, right?
She told me eventually.
How much time had passed from the time of the accident to her going, "Hey, Dad, here's
a couple days."
Right, so they just said they got in an accident.
Yeah, my daughter was driving and kind of just, you know, wasn't paying attention, dropped something, turned the wheel, went up the tree.
All right.
To keep that kid out of trouble.
Right.
That was basically the main thing.
Look, at the end of the day, she just shouldn't.
Back to what the guy was saying.
People that are new drivers shouldn't be teaching others.
Agreed.
That's where the mistake was made. But I mean, after that, like, I don't know. Like, would would that girl have been any better off if she had gotten in trouble?
No.
No, she'd been a lot worse.
It would have been worse.
But look, somebody in my family did the same thing. Same age. My niece.
Yeah.
They had soccer practice. They rear ended a car, freaked out. They left. Oh, yeah, they left. Somebody saw them, wrote down the license plate. Right.
Oh, Jesus. Why did you not tell the whole story? 206-421-RON.
Then it was a big discussion of, like, in my family, it was like, well, she shouldn't have left.
Mm-hmm.
But we respect the importance of practice. Right. Because they didn't really have, like, terrible intentions. They were just like, we got to go.
Yeah, it's not your intent, but you freak out. And I think you're more likely to freak out when it's not your intent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, if you have evil intent, you're going to do what you're going to do, and you might regret it later, but you're not going to freak out. But when you just go, oh, no, this was not supposed to happen. I mean, look, we can get mad at kids for doing that, okay? And you're right. As adults, we have to say all of that. And you're irritated because now it's your problem. But, Ted, at all the house parties you went to, somebody screams the cops are there. How many times did you wait for them?
Zero.
Right. And not one time in my life when you heard the word cops, particularly around that day, and I'm not doing anything where you're breaking car, like, I'm gone, man.
But my 17-year-old kid, her lesson that she learned was, I'm a pretty good liar. Both those cops believe me.
Right.
Well, I mean, at the end of the day, that's almost what going to court is.
Right. If you're a judge, a lawyer.
You got to convince somebody.
That's why they need evidence. We know we can't take you at your word, right? If you could just take people at the word, you wouldn't need contracts. No. You wouldn't need police. You wouldn't need nothing.
Right. And I'm just talking about college football. Saying my contracts are so important.
Yeah.
College football proves what people always know. When it comes to mostly civil court, criminal court could be a little bit different.
Sure.
Whoever has the most money wins.
That period. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
When did you not tell the whole story? 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, Rocket. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
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 So, long story short, I
ended
up got pulled over on St. Patrick's Day out in Baltimore. Managed to elude about $1,700 worth of tickets by the time I saw the judge.
How did you pull this off?
It was two cars, like four guys. So there's a lot that goes into this story, but just on how I pulled this off, he's driving an Evo, I'm driving a Ford Focus, and we leave the light aggressively, both of us spinning wheels and take off from the light. Before we hit the next little thing, the next little hill, maybe like a quarter mile from the light, half a mile from the light, we get pulled over. Like, guns over the roof of their cars before the cars even came to a stop type.
Yeah, it's called the Baltimore Way.
Mm-hmm.
It could be jaywalking, and that's their approach.
Yeah. So anyways, they pull us out. We're hammered. They make us do a field sobriety test, but the other driver, a buddy of mine at the time, gets to go first. Well, first thing they ask you is there any reason why you can't pass any of the tests that you're about to be asked to perform?
Because I'm hammered.
He's like, well,
Thunderbird.
No Thunderbird. But he's like, no, I've got a lazy eye. And the cop's like, hold up, what? Pulls a flashlight up into his face, and he's like, oh, wait, hold on. Hey, guys, come here. Take a look at this. Calls all the other cops over there. Makes this dude do a whole field sobriety test. I don't know how in the hell he passed. But because he went first, I sat there on the curb and watched and practiced. So, naturally, I aced it. I don't know how in the hell I managed to remember everything, but I aced it.
Like, wait, you have a lazy eye too, sir?
Yeah.
No, but I, but I managed to get through everything else. So, by the end of it, they make us sit there. They give us each $1,700 worth of tickets. There's racing, there's spinning wheels, there's speeding, and there's negligent driving. By the time I get to go to the judge, I've got it already figured out. My buddy's already gone first again. He got nailed for the $1,700 and like 14 points. Didn't even bother to call me before I go in. So I got to 1 o'clock. I go in there and the judge is like, how do you plead? And I'm like, well, as far as the spinning wheels goes, I probably did. My buddy probably did. I couldn't really tell you. One of us probably spun wheels. Hell yeah, we both spun wheels. He's like, on the racing. I'm like, Your Honor, I don't know if you know much about cars, but the other dude drove an Evo. I've got a Focus. Not much of a race.
I was going to say, all you need is a car alone. Yeah. Like, do you know what I'm driving?
So he's like, actually, yeah, I know exactly what kind of car that is. My wife has one. I'm like, well, then you know that a Focus is no race for it. He's like, all right. And on the negligent, I said, negligent? No, I wasn't negligent at all. As soon as we saw the lights, we pulled over, we stopped, we obeyed all commands, and here we are. He's like, all right. And on the speeding, I'm like, well, it's only half a mile, and again, Your Honor, I'm driving a Ford Focus.
I like the defense.
Hey, man, it's perfect though that the judge's wife has got like, poof, yeah, that thing.
Yeah. When did you not tell the whole story? 206-421-ROCK.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
99.9 KISW. The men's room is in progress.
Return of Who's Next List coming up right after emails on our question, when did you not tell the whole story? 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, Helena. Welcome to the men's room.
Oh, and done.
Man, oh, man.
She said to hell with y'all.
Yeah. Doom. Have some phone dong. Hello, Josh. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
All right, so back in high school, me and a buddy decided
we were going to go do donuts in a park in a couple parking lots, right? And then we noticed there was a school bus with a bunch of high school soccer girls, and we thought, oh, hey, we're going to go show off, you know? And doing donuts in this parking lot, lost control and slammed my car into the curb and blow out the lower A-arm on my car. My ego was bruised, so I drove home, and I told my parents that I was driving too fast around the corner in the rain and slid into the curb, and that's how my car got damaged.
And that's the right answer.
Mm-hmm. All right. Did they get it fixed for you?
They did not. They said I had to fix it myself, so I ended up going to the junkyard and finding the parts and fixing it myself.
All right. Well, hey, man, as long as you took care of the problem, I mean, it was your car, so if they're paying for it, if they're the ones that are paying for your insurance or the car itself, mm-hmm. or it's their car, look, man, I mean, it's yours. You can say whatever you want as long as you take care of it.
That's it.
I mean, that's really all it comes down to.
And a lot of times, you know.
Yeah, and it was more of a bruised ego kind of thing.
Oh,
yeah.
Sure, of course, man. Yeah. We get it. We're dudes. Mm-hmm. one thing I will say, there are companies that will tell you to lie in the future. When I had my iPhone years ago, I dropped it into the airplane toilet as I was peeing. I was getting ready to text someone, figured, you know, one-hand text, one-hand pee, thing slips out of my hand, I end up peeing on it, right? Whatever, I tried the whole rice thing, all the crap, none of that works, I have to get a replacement phone. So I go to, I don't know, Verizon, whatever the hell it was, and the guy is physically holding my phone at this point. And keep in mind, I had cleaned it, but he's holding the phone, and he's trying to get it to start, and he's like, yeah, man, this thing is shot. He goes, what happened to it? So, I was taking a leak. I dropped it in the toilet. As soon as I said that, he drops the thing on the desk. And he goes, dude, he goes, seriously. He goes, if this happens again, even if you drop it in the toilet, he's like, don't tell us that. I'm like, oh, wow, I'm sorry, man. I was just trying to be honest mm-hmm. with you. He goes, no, like,
That's the opposite.
Right. That is the exact thing. Yeah, he's like, I would just rather not know. I'm like, got it.
What did you not tell the whole story? 206-421-ROCK.
Pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, it's a straight leg dude. Seriously. Ah, don't
hey, yeah.
Hello, Marissa. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola. So back in high school, like 15 years ago, I was driving my brown Mercury Sable.
Sounds like a sexy car.
Totally hotboxed. got pulled over with my friends in the car with, you know, a permit, and somehow all I got was a traffic ticket.
For the infraction that they pulled you over for. Okay. Well, you're lucky.
Making a left turn and not signaling or some stupid thing.
So they couldn't tell that you would just hotbox the car?
You know, I think that he did, but he didn't want to deal with us because we had just finished hotboxing. Like, there was no way the stench was gone at all.
That's what I'm asking, man. I cannot believe you got away with that. I mean, I've had cops that do. I smell marijuana, and it's like,
yeah,
you might, bro, but no one is smoking in the car. You know what I mean? You're just saying that to see if I can tell you, yeah. Like, I don't know. Do you smell marijuana? Because I don't have any that I have smoked anyway.
Yeah.
I have lied on occasion. It was here. I remember our boss years ago. He's like, man, did you just smoke weed before you came in for this meeting? And I said, no. And I hadn't. I had an edible, though. So if he had said, are you stoned, I could say, like, yes, I am. But the words were, did you just smoke before you came in?
No.
No, I did not smoke. Come on, man. What do you take me for?
What did you not tell the whole story? 206-421-ROCK.
I was not lying. And he goes, how stoned are you? I go, what do you mean? Your eyes are barely open. And I kind of snapped quickly. I go, yeah, because I'm hungover as F. I wish I was still. I was like, that's aggressive.
Sorry, boss.
That's how hungover I am. I was like, I know, my eyes are barely open. I was up to like 4 in the morning drinking with people. Like, trust me, I would tell you if I was stoned.
I might be still drunk, but
right,
I'm not high.
Right, I wouldn't feel this bad.
Right. Come on, get it right. Hello, Kelly. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola. All right, so I was 18. It was 1978, and I had just got done. We were watching Johnny Carson's opening monologue. I did 20 bong loads out of a 4-foot bong. We had done a bunch of blow, and I got to take my buddy home. So we're driving down this road at the 35-mile-an-hour speed limit. And, of course, I had a 68 Camaro Super Sport, and I like to drive fast. So I was doing 95. It was about midnight.
Jesus.
I'm doing 95, and I roll past a California Highway Patrol. He's coming out. He immediately gets behind me, turns his lights on, pulls me over, he looks at my eyes, and when I get stoned, my eyes get real red. And he looks at my eyes, and he goes, "You've been blowing grass?" Like, well...
blowing grass.
Yeah, blowing grass. I'm like, what? He said, yeah, I smoked a doobie or two a couple hours ago. Big deal. Out of the car. So he takes me... I hadn't had anything to drink. He takes me out of the car. Well, I had just got a fake driver's license. And so I gave him the fake driver's license. So I was scared beyond scared. And, of course, I flunked the test. I couldn't walk a straight line. I was so scared my knees were shaking. So I flunked the test. He searches my whole car, finds my Crown Royal bag that I had my... I didn't have any pot on me, but I had the little Krups thing to get the Coke and, you know, the little screens. And I had all the paraphernalia. So he says, okay, we're going downtown. So he takes me downtown and says, all right, you want blood test? Breath test or a urine test? I said, well, give me the breath test because I hadn't had anything to drink. So he gives me the breath test. I blow zeros three times. He goes, okay, well, it's the end of my shift. I'll take you home. Never gave me a ticket. Didn't do anything. Took me directly home, and I was off.
Damn.
So, all right.
What about your car?
Oh, no, I didn't wreck it. Or, no, I,
no, I'm saying, do they at that point impound the car and you have to get it the next day or what?
Oh, my buddy was with me, and he had asked my buddy, have you been partying? He goes, no, which, you know, he wasn't drinking either, but he had had as amount as me. And so they let him drive my car home, and, so didn't impound the car, didn't get a ticket. In fact, I even talked him into giving me my little plate, my plate that I used to roll my joints on. I talked him into giving that back to me. It was pretty cool.
Huh. Okay. I think we can call those the good old days.
Yeah.
Well, exactly, because... I've got lots of stories like that where they picked me up with wine, and it was the good old days. I tell my boys that all the time.
I mean, people used to, you know, there was a bad accident outside of my house. I was not awake for this. Apparently, I slept through it. But the next morning, my parents were like, you and your brother slept through this big major accident where a dude slammed his car and wrapped it around a tree, right? Police sirens, ambulance, all this kind of stuff. And you guys slipped there. And I'm like, well, how bad was it? Well, the guy was pretty messed up. And this is back before he had, like, the breakaway windshields, you know? So it was a bad, bad scene. There was still, like, blood out there and all this. And I was like, well, did he lose control? My dad's like, no. I mean, he explained to the cops. He was just drunk. But, like, at the time, that was your, you know, why else would you drive into a tree? I guess the guy's like, well, I was hammered.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was the thing. And then I would say also, too, when it comes to, like, weed stuff and everything, like, it just depends on where you are. Like, literally, I was talking to a guy that was a state trooper last week, or 2 weeks ago. And he was like, yeah, it's different in the Carolinas. Like, my son's over there. I tell him all the time, like, don't
do it, man.
Right, like, just be careful and don't, like, just do what they say.
When you say you're talking to a state trooper, are you in the back of his vehicle? Or just a casual conversation?
I was, but it was his personal...
Okay.
Right. We had had lunch together.
Okay, I'm just curious, man.
Well, you're that's like, why when you asked me, I was like, well, I was in the back seat, but it was a nice truck.
I mean, I've had a lot of conversations with police, some less pleasant than others, you know, just situationally. Just curious.
But you were the only two guys in the car. When did you not tell the whole story? 206-421-ROCK.
I like this guy here. He says, I worked as a bouncer for many years. I went to big guys. They were getting a party. I would ask them, are you sure you want to do this? I have not lost a fight since fifth grade. Now, the truth of the matter was, I had not been in a fight since fifth grade. I got my butt kicked.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they didn't buy it at all.
They bought it. He wasn't lying. He just had not been in a fight since fifth grade.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
So he certainly did. I haven't lost a fight since fifth grade. That's remember, I used to wear a shirt at my mom's old college, man, and it says, like, Villa Julie College has a picture of a football helmet on it, undefeated since, like, 1939. Mm-hmm.
Western has those.
And, Ted, I remember you were impressed, like, how have I never heard of this program? Like, bro, they don't have a football team. Mm-hmm.
Right. Western does it now because they lost their program in, what, 08, 09?
Not sure.
Yeah, they used to have one. Hell of a soccer program.
Hell of a soccer program?
They do.
All right. Mm-hmm.
Sorry, Ben Dragovan's in the Western Washington Hall of Fame.
Yes. I see.
They also inducted some dudes from, I don't know, some Odessa band and some guys about death cabs.
I see.
That was Drago's weekend.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
When did you not tell the whole story? 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, Helena. Welcome back.
Hi.
Hola. Hola.
So the one time I didn't tell the whole truth is I kind of meshed some classes that I got in trouble for getting into a fight into my college classes, and my new friends that I made would ask, why do you have to go to that class, when I would take off and be like, oh, no, I gotta go. I can't skip this one.
So wait, explain this to us again. I'm not tracking.
Okay, so you get made to take, like, anger management classes and things like that.
Okay.
So a few years back, I had gotten into trouble and was on probation and having to take classes for that. Well, fast forward, I made a lot of really good new friends, and I really just didn't want them to, like, know that I was kind of a troublemaker before. So they'd be like, oh, it's fine, you can skip a class, because I was in college classes and at the time, and they'd be like, and some of them, I'd be like, no, I cannot skip. I gotta go. Because, like, that's like, no.
Because they're legally required to be there.
Right.
Yeah. So, I mean, eventually it kind of came out, because I had to go for a while. But it's like, for a while, I was like, no way. And my parents would be like, oh, watch Helena, or things like that. And they'd be like, what are you talking about? She's so nice.
What?
So I had to come clean. It was like, you guys. Wasn't so nice.
I gotta ask, what do they teach you? Like breathing exercises?
Yeah, what do you learn in anger management?
How to walk away? Or like what are the?
Okay, so it's like, it actually has a lot to do with like your family dynamic and things like that. They really break it down, like, and make you work on yourself. Like, why are you angry in the first place? How come you can't process or self-regulate?
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
You tell them, because bitch just pissed me off.
I was just curious.
A lot of useful information, but a lot of, like just coming to class and listen to them and to everybody do the same chapter over and over again.
Okay. Did you ever get into a fight or altercation after these classes?
No, but okay. I don't want it to cost me any money. I couldn't say right. I wasn't tempted.
Did you win the fight that you were in?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I was going to say, because typically the person who wins the fight is the one
that's
going
to get anger management.
Not the person that gets their ass beat.
No, they're like,
even if they started it.
You need a self-defense class.
Yes,
this person needs anger management.
Right. What did you not tell the whole story? 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, Rebus. Welcome to the men's room.
Hey, guys.
Hola.
So, let's see. When I was 17, so back in 1986, I ended up... keeping something from my family for a couple decades. I was out with some friends. One of the guys, Steve, he had a squirt gun that he had the tip painted black, and he would carry Windex and ammonia in it so he could squirt dogs in the nose when they attacked him when he was when he was delivering newspapers.
Ah, okay.
My other friend, Josh, he was carrying a machete that night. And Steve ended up giving me like 3 knives. I was the driver. I ended up like, I'm not carrying knives. I stuck them under the seat of my car. We went down to Lincoln Park in West Seattle, and I ended up having to go to the bathroom. So I'm using the restroom while the two of them walked off arm in arm looking for, they wanted to start a bonfire. Well, apparently they ended up walking past 2 Samoan guys, and I've always thought this might have been gay bashing or something like that, that one of them walked into Steve and crashed into him, and he did that, you know, excuse me thing that Steve Martin used to do. Yeah, well, they end up, these two guys just start beating the crap out of them. I missed all of it. As I was walking away from the bathroom, these two punk rockers came over to me, this guy and a girl, and they said, are those your friends down there? Please go help them. And so I go running down the path, and one of my friends is laying on his back. You know, his machete was taken away. And Steve had tried to draw this squirt gun, and the guy said, no guns, and yanked it out of his hand and, you know, proceeded to beat the crap out of him. I get there, and one of the guys walks over to me with what I thought was a board in his hand, and he held it over my head and said, you go sit down over there at these benches. And I started to walk away, and then I heard him say to his friend, oh man, he cut me. I'm going to go lop his fingers off. And that's the point where I realized that this guy had a machete. And so, you know, I yell no, and I go running over to get between him and my friend Josh, and the guy is pointing this machete at me and telling me to get out of the way. And his best friend eventually at that point just, you know, comes over and is like, you know, it's not worth it, man. Just let's get out of here. And so they leave with this machete, and I ended up having to be kind of their bodyguard on the way out, where every time we ended up walking back out to the street, and every time a car would go by, they'd jump into the bushes, and I had to go get the car from the parking lot and go pick them back up. And That night, I remember thinking, these guys are going to get their asses beat someday, and they're going to be not nearly as cocky as they are right now. And it turned out it was that night. But yeah, I didn't tell my parents until probably 20, 25 years later what happened, because, you know, the idea of me getting my arm cut off, that was, I mean, I was within a couple feet of it, you know, and I didn't know at the time.
Damn.
Well, obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if a guy has a machete, like, nah, that's not the guy I want to do. I feel like there are certain things you never have to share with your parents. Because parents will always worry, and even though it happened a quarter of a century ago, you know, if the vibe is still going to be the same from your bro, who are they now? I'll kick their ass. Like, they're in their 50s. You know what I mean? Like, let it go. Because I'm pretty content to not share certain things with my parents.
And there's some things, honestly, like, even for me, like, sometimes I'll think about something, I'll be like, oh my God, that was dangerous.
Or it's
like, I don't tell my, I still wouldn't tell my mom, but I'm also just like, I'm just like, I can't believe we did that. We got away with it. Let's not do it again.
You know, or to other family. So, for an example, I've got a cousin, right?
Okay.
And his dad passed away when he was one or two. Now, his dad was always in jail. He was always in trouble with the law. He was that guy. Now, when he came to our house, it was one of those things where you had to put valuables away.
He'd steal from you.
He would steal from anybody.
Jeez.
You know what I mean? So, but when we came over family dinner, whatever, you just knew, like, you know, your mom, dad would say, like, okay, if there's anything of value, you know you got to go hide it. You know, Bobby's coming over. All right, so it was one of those things. So at my wedding, he's talking to me, and he's very sincere. And we are, it's 1 o'clock in the morning.
All right, that time of night.
We're sitting on the bed. We've been drinking all this stuff, right. You know what I mean? And just having a good time and talking. He's like, hey, man, you knew my dad. And his dad actually drowned, quote unquote, in Florida.
I mean, quote unquote.
On a business deal. They found him in the Gulf of Mexico. All right. So he says, you knew my dad. What was my dad like? It's like, Bob, and his name's Bobby Swell. It's like, Bobby, your dad was a great man. He would always take the time to talk to me. We would go out and throw football, man. Anytime he came over, we'd go shoot hoops. He would take me out for ice cream, blah, 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 blah.
Was any of that true?
Going out for a drive, but that normally meant he was picking up beer or weed or drugs.
But you got to ride.
Yes, exactly. Like, I was like, I'll take a ride with you because he had a cool car. You know what I mean? Like, why not? You know, I'm in my teens, whatever. But, I mean, yeah, he was a horrible human being. But I didn't tell him.
The kid or the dad?
The dad.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he beat his mother. I mean.
Does current Bobby know any of this yet?
He seemed naive enough to me that if he had heard it, all I told him was, in my experience.
No, I'm saying since then. Since you...
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I figured I just skated on that one for the night. Because
how old was he?
How old was he when he talked to me?
When he asked you.
Oh, he was an adult. I mean, yeah, we were...
No, but I mean, like, 20... Is
oh, yeah,
like
20, 40? 22, 22, 23.
See, he probably has heard things by now.
Yeah, I'm not sure how much he really knew. You know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of layers there. You
but
know what
not
I mean?
Everything.
Not exactly.
He used to get in trouble a lot with the law. He was just that kind of guy,
right? That's not a problem to say. But then when you say, like, well, what did he do? Mm-hmm. That's when you kind of switch it up and soften the blow, right?
He might have worked with some family members I had. He got in, physically abused his wife, you know, my cousin's mother. So they sent him off on business in Florida to do a couple jobs. And he never came back.
Wow.
What do you know?
Right, yes.
And everyone had to act surprised.
So, I think there's enough in the family where they don't tell him exactly what happened.
They probably haven't told you exactly
because that would be almost incriminating to a point.
Well, yeah.
So, and this is...
Well, we went on a trip, like, and after I hit...
This is in the 80s, you know what I mean? It was just, that's how West Virginia was. Like, you're going to beat someone's ass.
Right.
You're going to show up with a baseball bat, you know what I mean? Take someone's kneecaps out. I mean, you might not kill them, but I mean, there was going to be damage done.
But you can't say anything because you're incriminating yourself, right?
Correct. And he might have been one of those guys that actually did that for a while to try to get, as a side job, to make money.
Who, young Bobby?
No.
Oh.
His father.
Just dad, okay.
His father was involved in all kinds of crazy stuff. You know what I mean? But, yeah, I mean, he's not a good guy. He was not. Isn't that a good guy?
That's a great guy, man. At least
my
experience.
He's taking me out, man. Take me to the store, buy me candy, man. Play basketball, throw football together. He'd watch football with me, sneak me a beer every once in a while. He's a great guy.
See, in my family, we just like, they ask about people like, yeah, you know what? Fought in this war, like this and that.
That's it. Right?
What else? Like, Nice. Yeah, he was racist, kind of salty and mean. Well, worked a job every day.
Right.
When did you not tell the whole story? 206-421-ROCK. We've got your emails up next in the men's room at KISW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.